video ended up getting around 50,000 views or something like that.
Over the course of...
It happened quite quickly. The algorithm kind of took off with it. It was within maybe 2 weeks. We did try SEO-based videos as well, and some of those still generate monthly income for us because it's a video that is helpful to people and it answers a question. 4 seconds long, it got 25 million views, which is crazy amounts of views. You know, on Instagram's a little bit different with their short form content, you know, but regardless, we went from, I think we had like 8,000 or 9,000 followers on Instagram to like 75,000, which was a crazy dopamine hit. You know, we got to launch some products to sell. Like, this is crazy. But the problem was...
Welcome to the Revenue Rebels podcast, brought to you by Warmly. On this show, we cut straight through the fluff and dive deep into the specific tactics that B2B revenue leaders across sales and marketing are using to find success in today's environment. I'm your host, Alan Zhao.
All right, today we have on here Jamie McCulley. He's the founder of AI Hustle Podcast, a top 100 podcast on Apple for entrepreneurship. It's a weekly podcast that brings on the latest in AI news and AI tools that you can use to make money. It's for the everyday listener. Jamie also has a YouTube channel with 100,000 subscribers called Jamie and Sarah about real-world hacks and how to make some side income, most notably flipping Amazon return pallets. Today we're going to talk about how Jamie grew his audience on YouTube and podcasts. Thank you for coming on, Jamie.
Thanks for having me, Alan. Appreciate it.
Excited about this one. So how about we start off with a quick background about yourself and how you got into this business?
All right. So my name's Jamie. My wife and I started a YouTube channel in 2020 based around flipping houses at the time. So I've been married about 11 years and we started with wedding photography. That was our first business we owned together. We did that full time for about 8 years, but then 2021 rather, COVID happened and all of our weddings got canceled or postponed for the year. So we had been doing real estate as well at the time, and we kind of made the natural transition into creating content around our house flips. We had all the camera gear. And so it was a pretty easy transition. I just had to learn video editing. And that's how the YouTube channel was born. So the interesting part about that is that that's not what our YouTube channel is about anymore. We didn't have much viewership on those first videos. One, because I didn't really have the skills or talent to make good videos or videos over, 4 minutes long. And then also, I think the content wasn't super relatable to people. You know, the average person's not able to go buy a house and flip it and make money on it. So even though we enjoyed the DIY side of things, it wasn't that helpful to people. So in November of 2021, we decided to start flipping things from thrift stores. And that content took off like in a crazy way because a lot of people were struggling financially at the time and needed, a few extra $100 a month. And it was a great way for them to do that. So that's kind of what blew up our YouTube channel.
That's phenomenal. I mean, it's a really big testament to go from to at least find things that didn't work in the beginning and realize why it didn't work. And I feel like you can only find that if you see success once, but you have to see success.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta try stuff. And to be honest, we didn't know if it was going to work at the beginning, but, we kind of stuck it out and changed our strategy in the moment when we were making the house flip content. We thought it would be entertaining because, you're kind of doing the HGTV thing where you transform a space and, you're making money. And we'd always been passionate about real estate because it had changed our life in a big way. But getting other people excited about it was the challenging part.
Right. Was there one video that really took off, or did it happen slowly over time? Like how did it suddenly blow up?
So there was one video specifically that kind of helped launch, phase one, I'd like to call it, of our YouTube channel. And that was one titled How We Paid Our Mortgage Flipping Furniture. So we went out and we bought furniture from thrift stores, and then we took a nice picture of it, or sometimes we painted it, fixed it up, and then relisted it on Facebook Marketplace. And our mortgage at the time was like, I think, $1,200, and we were able to pay it with money from flipping furniture. So that kind of curiosity factor also combined with the factor of like, oh, they were able to pay their mortgage payment through this strategy. You know, how can I do the same? So I think that's kind of what kind of blew up. And then I think that video ended up getting around 50,000 views or something like that.
Over the course of...
It happened quite quickly. The algorithm kind of took off with it. It was within maybe 2 weeks it got that many views. So
50,000 in 2 weeks, that's wild. So yeah. It's natural SEO on YouTube that picked it up. People were searching for it, or was it discovered, do you think?
I think the algorithm kind of pushed it. You know, YouTube is an interesting beast because they take into account, you know, what percentage of people click on your video. So that's called your click-through rate. And then the average view duration. So how many minutes are they spending watching the video? And that's how they determine if it's good. And then it's pushed out based on that. And, you know, that part of YouTube is difficult as well because you're relying on the algorithm. And that's how you get like the Mr. Beast type videos now, where it's all completely dependent on hype and engagement. And that's kind of a tough race to run and to do as your job, because if you have a video that doesn't perform well, you know, that really sucks. But we did try SEO based videos as well. And some of those still generate monthly income for us because it's a video that is helpful to people and it answers a question. So that's kind of the other side of YouTube, is more the education or helpful side versus like the entertainment side of Mr. Beast. So I think where our channel really hit its stride is we were both entertaining through, you know, the flipping of the furniture, but it also was helpful to people because they could learn to do it too.
Yeah. No, you got two things got going for you guys. So the entertainment, I never actually heard about that distinction between entertaining content that blows up and then educational, and you guys had the best of both worlds. So no surprise there, but tell me more about the entertainment piece.
Yeah. So the entertainment piece, you know, and the best example is because Mr. Beast is basically pure entertainment. It's a exciting title and thumbnail that makes you just want to watch and click on it. And, you know, a lot of people aren't necessarily going to YouTube to learn something. They're going to just turn their brain off and be, you know, entertained. So, you know, it's a tricky balance, and you kind of, when you start a YouTube channel, you kind of have to decide which one you're going to be, because, that kind of changes your strategy for your video as well. So some of the SEO based videos we have that are helpful. There's one we released called How to Paint Wood Paneling the Right Way. So isn't really that entertaining, but it's searched by people. And so that one, it didn't gain 50,000 views in a month, but it's gained 50,000 views over 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Through search. So.
Got, yeah. It's the evergreen content that people come back for, probably more high intent anyways.
But right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like that. It's like quick hit that you can see instant results that you can show back to your marketing team and say like, hey, we did a thing that it produced results. So,
I was going to say, I think, you know, for the business owner or the marketer, I personally still think the evergreen searchable content is where it's at, because, you know, you're not going to part of that. And that kind of leads me into the AI hustle side, AI hustle podcast that we do, is that if we did just news and never really talked about the tools and ways to be helpful to people, we're never going to be established as like an expert in that area. We're not going to be, you know, seen as someone who's an expert. We're going to just be the entertainers. So, you know, if you're starting a business or you're running a business and you want to, become like an industry leader in that area, I think you are better off going the helpful route or educational route with your videos than entertaining. Although entertaining content will get you temporary eyeballs on your business. So it kind of depends on what your business is.
Let's talk about that overall strategy then, because I know for myself, it's really difficult to, if you don't have eyeballs, then it almost doesn't really matter how educational the content is. So many people, including myself, might think, let's go for virality first and then transfer some of the audience into a long tail people who stay on and are real subscribers.
So that's really an interesting topic because Sarah and I's Instagram, we have an Instagram, and that's a perfect example of why, in my opinion, you shouldn't necessarily go for that strategy. So we had done some furniture flipping, but had kind of gotten out of it. On our YouTube channel, we were more into the other side hustle stuff that we do, the reselling. But we decided to post, there was this one clip we had of Sarah painting a hutch. It was just like a 4-second clip, and it was, she was waving a paintbrush and it was unpainted. Then all of a sudden in a split second, it was, you know, the finished product. 4 seconds long. It got 25 million views, which is crazy amounts of views, you know. On Instagram's a little bit different with their short form content, you know, but regardless, we went from, I think we had like 8,000 or 9,000 followers on our Instagram to like 75,000, which was a crazy dopamine hit, you know, crazy. We felt like, you know, we got to launch some products to sell. Like, this is crazy. But the problem was, because that's not really what we were doing anymore for our YouTube channel. We basically did that to get views, and it did get views. Now, every time we post content on our Instagram, unless it's a furniture flip, which we don't really do anymore, we get minus followers. So our engagement rate on our Instagram is horrible because it's not furniture flipping. You know what I'm saying? So if you make something super viral for your business, if you don't figure out your, I guess, call to action or some way to, if it's purely for the virality, then it's not going to benefit your business. It might actually hurt your business. So
if the two are aligned, that's the dream case. Have you found that to be the case in something that you've done where it went viral and it leads into what you guys are trying to sell?
Yeah. So that brings me maybe to our next phase of our YouTube channel, which was the Amazon return pallets. That kind of took our channel from, I think we had maybe 50,000 subscribers to 140, I think we're at now, over the course of a year, just because that content, it was almost like another perfect combination of entertaining and education. So basically, if you're unfamiliar with Amazon return pallets, it's where you would buy a pallet or a skid of return merchandise from Amazon.com. A lot of people think that it's, you know, restocked somehow, but logistically they can't do that. It costs too much money. So they put on these pallets and then resell it, or liquidators buy it and then sell it to random people like me. So we would buy these pallets, open them, sell the items on them, and then show how much profit we made. But we didn't even realize at the time why it was so engaging to people. But if you remember, I don't know if you remember the show Storage Wars back in the day. Yeah, exactly like Storage Wars, where you don't really know what's in the storage unit or you don't know what's on your pallet until you open it. So people loved the mystery. And so that was like the entertaining part of it. And then the educational part or the helpful part was that you can actually sell this stuff and make a profit. It was kind of the, you know, again, the combination of those two. And we kind of got, I don't want to say stuck for a little while on the, we kind of fell back into the entertainment piece too much, where we would just unbox the items and not show our actual profit. And I think people got tired of that after a while because it's like, well, wait, I want the helpful part too, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. I love this. Yep. You have to have both.
I mean, that's kind of what's worked for us, I think. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know how that translates to a lot of different businesses, but if you're, you know, if you're a marketer person, if you can have that combination, I think that's really going to work for you. Even in today's world where people are swiping, you know, we built our channel before a lot, any of the short form stuff came out, before TikTok or YouTube Shorts or anything like that. So it's a little bit different now, but I think the same principles apply.
Are you on YouTube Shorts and TikTok?
We've tried. We are. The YouTube Shorts thing is very interesting because Our audience that watches our YouTube channel is actually, most of them are, or I should say most, I think 60% of them are 50 or older. And they watch on a TV. So when we started posting shorts, it was kind of the same thing, as our Instagram, where it's like, what is this crap? I want to sit and watch something on the TV. I don't want to watch these little 5-second clips. And so we got really bad engagement and even some unfollows from that. So that's kind of something we've been not struggling with, but I am considering starting some new accounts this year because I want to more talk about making money online this year rather than we're going to keep those channels running, but I would like to kind of break into a new niche or category so that the strategy would be to start a new account rather than posting on the old one because it's not going to be engaging to those, that audience. So
if you're a fan of the Revenue Rebels podcast, please leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Your support goes a long way in helping us bring on more amazing guests. Thank you.
Can we talk a little bit about how you have everything set up? What's the process, the day-to-day look like? You talked about I noticed a drop in my follower counts. Sometimes I don't notice why that's happening. So how do you know? And then when do you produce? How long does it take? Can we talk through that process?
Yeah. So things have definitely changed because in the past 4 years, we've had two more children. So, things are definitely busy for us. Right now we have a filming day blocked off. So every Tuesday we have a babysitter and we will film the content for the week. And then from there, I'm kind of like the office guy. So I'll do all the editing, and posting of the things. And, to be honest, it is very time consuming. And so that's kind of like my week to week is my days are spent, in the office editing and posting the content. And then if I want to branch out and continue, for example, we started the podcast. Now I have Mondays as my podcast day. So I have that kind of blocked off there, as well. So that I would like to say I'm super organized and on schedule, but it definitely is tricky. Especially when you work from home to stay on a schedule, but.
Got it. And then how about the telemetry, the analysis, the content strategy, how does that all happen?
Yeah. So, and that kind of comes into, talking about some AI tools, but, I try to, when it comes to YouTube thumbnails, it's actually pretty scientific. And thumbnail is the thing that you see, the picture you see before you click on it, if you're not familiar. But I've actually been using Claude AI. They just came out with their, I think it's called Opus, I forget what it is. But you can upload an image and I'll actually ask it, say, how could I make this thumbnail more engaging? And usually, I'm pretty familiar now with a good strategy as far as invoking curiosity and what colors to use and things like that, but it does give you some good reminders sometimes. So that's a nice tool because remember when it comes to getting your video seen, you have to have your entertainment piece and your curiosity piece to get people to click on it, and then they have to stay and watch it. So that Claude is a helpful tool for me. And then I also try to use ChatGPT for all my descriptions. And I usually will give it a list of keywords that I want it to include in the description just so that it matches what the subject of the video is. And I do have to make tweaks, but it is a big time saver because not only do you have to film and edit the video, but posting it, if you just throw it up without much thought into the title and description, you're not going to have the potential to rank for a search term, back to that, how to paint paneling the right way concept, so there definitely is some research that goes into it. YouTube has really great, analytics tools as well. I have yet to see another platform with such in-depth analytics. So, I can look at a video and see exactly when people clicked off, you know, when it became less interesting, or if there was a peak as well, an interesting moment people maybe wanted to rewatch or see. So you can really see inside YouTube what people want to watch, essentially. So I can tweak future videos based on that engagement graph of when people clicked off. So the goal, again, you know, is to get people to click on the video and then watch for as long as possible. So
that's really interesting. Portion of it where you can see that, oh, this is the second where they were like their ears perked up. It's probably when they figured out finally how much the whole thing was worth. And like, yeah, the next time I have to include that.
Right. Or like on a lot of the DIY type stuff, they'd click forward to the final reveal, you know, for example. Or if we ever did a sponsorship, you know, you could see about a third of the people either click off or fast forward to the end of the sponsorship and then start watching again. So, and then there's usually a 5% drop off in viewership when we add a sponsored bit. So some people just click off and stop watching. So
how do you know if you should continue doing the YouTube channel? Like a lot of us in B2B marketing are trying to figure out, like, do we start this? It sounds like a lot of work, takes a lot of time. When do we start seeing chaos, or is it all at once? It's like a bamboo that you water for days and it finally grows all in one day.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I mean, I've changed my strategy or my thought process recently with all the short form stuff that has come out as far as YouTube Shorts, you know, TikTok and Instagram Reels. If you're a company and you want to establish yourself as an expert and get the word out about your company, I feel like a lot of times a podcast really is the best option, because you can establish yourself as an expert. I think there's something about listening to someone for more than 5 minutes that you trust them more, and you can kind of see inside their brain where, you know, if you're just swiping after five videos, you forget what the first video even was. And so I think really your impressions and views are going to be higher on a TikTok or a short YouTube video, but you're not going to, I think, get as many warm leads, at least in your business, rather than if you just go deep with a podcast, you know, and really dive in. I think, you know, before we hopped on this call, I told you about my co-host who was able to raise, you know, almost $500,000 for his startup through a podcast, or through three podcasts. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of trust there, and really, you're going to reach exactly who you want to reach through the longer form content podcast specifically. And then you can actually, if you want to take it a step further, get clips made of your podcast to post on TikTok or do the short form thing. So I feel like it is absolutely worth it nowadays, especially, you know, with all the noise on the short form stuff. I think it's absolutely worth it. But I think a podcast, or at least a longer form YouTube video, is going to be the best bet. I mean, but again, then it depends on your business. If you're making little trinkets that do something funny, you know, for an e-com store, you're probably going to want to do TikTok over a podcast. So it really depends on what your business is.
Makes sense. Well, like a t-shirt, like, oh, I know what that is. I don't need to 5 minutes on it. So right. How do you grow a podcast audience? Some of us might start with like 5 or 10 subscribers, and that's not justifiable for marketing budget of however much it takes to produce. So,
So the podcast thing is really interesting, because a lot of people think, I forget what the stat is, but most podcasts don't make it past, you know, 5 to 10 episodes before it quits, because it does take a lot of effort to, you know, produce, to come up with the interview questions. And then it is hard to gain traction. So I think, you know, back even when we did our wedding photography business, my wife and I, when we first got married, one of the things that set us apart is that everyone at the time was trying to get their clients on Facebook. But we were doing SEO and really trying to hit that heavy. And so we ranked for Google search for Grand Rapids wedding photographers. And that's how we got, I would say, 90% of our business. So when it comes to podcasts, I think SEO is an overlooked thing as well. You know, I would use as many characters as they allow to fill out keywords in a description for your podcast. And then I would also, experiment with different variations of titles. We do 3 podcasts a week, which sounds crazy, but they're all 10 to 15 minute short little podcasts. It's not like a 2-hour podcast. So that way we're able to put out more content and kind of beta test what is working and what people are interested in searching for. For example, in our, you know, after AI Hustle in our title, we mention a few different companies that are kind of hot topics, like NVIDIA right now. So NVIDIA is in our like secondary description of our podcast. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Yeah.
So
you're relying probably less on like newsletters or redirection of traffic. It's just purely actually SEO for podcast discovery.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, more so than just thinking about the subject matter of your content, think about what people might be searching for. And that's where the news piece really is pretty integral, pretty necessary, in my opinion, for our podcast growth, because, you know, news articles pop up on TechCrunch every single day. But people might want to hear a more in-depth analysis of it. And so in podcasting, there's not a lot of up-to-date, at least if you can release a podcast quickly the same week as something comes out, and you use correct keywords, I think your chances of getting new eyeballs on your podcast are a lot better. So
that's great. Yeah. Our best performing SEO piece was when SalesLoft acquired Drift. We wrote like an analysis on it, and then that was by far and away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where was that published, or what was that on LinkedIn? Or?
It was just on our site.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think along the same lines as podcasts, if you can, you know, if you're having one guest a week, for example, on your podcast, if you can work in one extra short little even podcast a week that is news on that topic, or on your topic, I should say, I think that'll help with growth a lot, honestly. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Jamie, I think we're out of time here. How can people find out more about you?
Sure. Yeah. So you can find me and Jaden every week. We do 3 podcasts on the AI Hustle podcast. That's probably the best place. But then Jamie and Sarah is the name of my current YouTube channel. So you can find my wife and I's shenanigans over there.
Please check them out. Thank you very much, Jamie.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.